In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tomorrow we are back in the studio. It is a Thai Tuesday. That means Thai Law on the show tomorrow at 9. We are at Gillette Stadium, though, today, awaiting Gerard Mayo, who will be here in about 10 minutes with, I'm sure, a lot to say about yesterday, and we will certainly ask him a little bit about his suggestion after that game last night that once those players get on the field, there's really nothing he can do when it comes to penalties, or maybe he wasn't just talking penalties, that's what he was asked about, but maybe he just means in general. He's not going out there and playing, Wiggy, you know how that goes?
Yep. Did Tom Brady say something to that effect? Like, once the game starts, it's all the players anyway.
No, I think you're thinking of Giselle, who said Tom can't throw the ball to himself. But I don't remember, did Tom Brady
say? Yeah, Tom said that.
He said
it's really about the players.
Right.
He said once the game starts, it's all about the players.
I just remember because Ken took it as a shot at Bill and had this whole idiotic take.
Yeah.
But that was a brutal loss. 34-15 does not even begin to describe how big of a blowout that really was.
No.
But my frustration, Drake May is the future. We all agree he's the only thing you really have.
Right.
These are coming now too often where they have the ball, two possession game at midfield. No, not going to win the game. I get it. But that's a back-breaking pick that he said it was kind of tipped or whatever.
It
like,
was
just
tipped. It was.
Bad decision. Like, you're gonna, chuck that ball
into it. Because it was another, kind of floater.
Yeah. Right, try to get it over top.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin Shime's trip to London if you say anything negative about Drake May now.
It's only a flesh moon.
I said it earlier. Like, that was easily his worst game he's ever played as a professional. Like, it's not – and I think a lot of it had to do with how bad the rest of the team was, too. They put him behind the eight ball right off the bat. But at the same time, like, the fumble was something you just can't have. And then that interception was – Curtis is right. It was stupid. Like, it was – I don't know if I would go to the lengths that he used of horrific or horrendous, but, like, it wasn't good.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at tendencies, does that alarm you that he has thrown the ball away at the end of several football games here back to back, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think – a couple of them you can kind of excuse away. This one was inexcusable. Like the last one with the Pop Douglas thing, even Alex Van Pelt told you Pop Douglas screwed up. And then the first one he did, I think it was just, you know, you're in overtime, a rookie wants to win it all with one play, and he took a shot and just missed. And that's just going to happen. So, like, this one to me, though, was inexcusable.
I'm not going to, get, like, say, all right, it was all on him. But I will give him a pass because what he's trying to do is he's the best player out there.
And who are you not giving a pass to today? You're giving a pass to everybody on this football team.
No, but when you're Drake May and you're trying to create offense and you're trying to make plays and you're like, all right, if I don't make this play, we don't have a chance, you're going to take more chances and you're going to be a little bit more reckless with the football. Even like he talked about, that sack strip fumble, it's because your left tackle and your left guard completely didn't know, communicate to be able to block that guy, Siegler, I think his name was, coming right up the middle. And so what May's thinking in his mind is like, even the touchdown pass that he threw, I have to make like these unbelievable plays to keep us in the game. So at times, as a rookie, he's going to make a lot of mistakes where a veteran might go, all right, I'll eat it and I'll live to fight another
day. I'm just, in your mind, who you go to Miami,
yep,
you get absolutely blown out in
right.
an embarrassing fashion.
Right.
Who is, in your mind, accountable?
I think the players and coaches.
Oh, okay. Because earlier you were not really holding Jerod Mayo.
No. I'm not holding. I said Jerod Mayo. Your criticism of Jerod Mayo all season, I think, is unfair because Jerod Mayo was put in a bad situation with this football team. So, yes, he has to do his best to make sure guys are ready to go every Sunday. But every time he steps on the field as a coach, he's outmanned. He's having to coach with one hand tied behind his back because of what you didn't do in the offseason and the players you put there, the coaches that maybe or maybe not you gave him on offense. You did not give him the best possible, and I'm talking about Robert Kraft.
Put him in the best possible position to be successful.
Yeah, so that's where I give him a pass. So, yeah, there's going to be games where you look and go, okay, you got to do better, Jerod, but I get the hand that you were dealt.
Yeah, I think it would be hard to argue that this isn't the worst roster in all the NFL. I watched many, probably the final, whatever it was, half quarter of the Chiefs-Panthers game yesterday. And the Panthers are awful, but they're better offense than the Patriots have. I mean, they have Thielen, who's
Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard's really good. Their defense was, yeah, but they had some playmakers. Like, this Patriots team is awful. Top to bottom. There are no game-changing players. There is Christian Gonzalez and Drake May. Everybody else is mediocre. And when you watch other teams, like even the Giants' neighbors, like, that's an elite offensive talent.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and I got Brian Burns on the other side, who's an elite pass rusher. I might, if anything, I probably owe Jerod Mayo an apology because when I say to him, well, you know, on paper at the beginning of the season, I had you better than maybe the Washington Commanders and the Chicago Bears. And he looked at me like, bro, what you been smoking? He okay, might be right.
Well, that was a fair question.
But it wasn't only you. Like, everybody had this as a top, you know, 15 defense in the NFL. They're not playing like that.
No, the most depressing graphic I've ever seen was right at the kickoff yesterday on CBS, where it said key players that are out, something to that effect.
Juwan Bentley.
No, it said KJ Osborne. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right. He sucks. That's the key guy.
All right. Well, here he is right now. Here is the head coach right now.
Yep.
There he is. So we will get to talk about all those things right now with Jerod Mayo.
Love it.
I would say that we'll move trending, if you don't mind, and we'll do that a little bit later.
Love that.
All right. Now, see, Coach, you surprised me. You're bright and early. I got to find all of your sponsor information. How are you? Good morning. Oh, wait. We got to get the headset on first. Morning. How are you?
Someone with a small head had this on.
It wasn't Wiggy or
nope. I got a big old melon.
Yeah. Full of stuff.
Jerod Mayo is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts when it comes to treating the sexual health issues of men, with 5 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Land Rover of Norwood, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains won't flow, and by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Yeah, it was a tough game down there in Miami. We just got outplayed, outcoached, and we just have to continue to get better. You know, you take that game away. The last four, we felt pretty good about, you know, where we were trending, and this hopefully is just a hiccup and get ready for the Colts.
I don't know what word you would use. We were using sloppy earlier. You know, do you feel like this team is playing sloppy?
I would say if you take that game, that was a sloppy game, and it starts with the penalties. And look, the post snap penalties, you can sometimes go back and forth. It's the operational penalties and the lack of focus that really frustrate me, and I know frustrate the team.
Gerard, we talk about this every week. It's like you said, it's those penalties that you have, the false starts, and it's continuing. When do you get to a point, and I know it's probably difficult based on personnel, when guys do start messing up where they got to be concerned about their asses being on the bench for the rest of the game and worrying about playing time?
Yeah, and that's the hard part, you know, as you continue to try to build a culture. And look, these are the things that we're not going to do. It depends on the position group that you even look at and whether we have depth at that spot or not, or we don't have depth at that spot. That definitely goes into it. But it's unacceptable by all the players.
So depth at that spot that you...
General position.
Well, I would use it like Vidarian Lowe, like somebody who ends up, you know, being penalized three times in that game. Mm-hmm. And certainly costly when it comes to where you are field position-wise. Is that... Do you have to look then back at the roster and say, we don't have the depth there, you know, at the position that we need?
No, that's part of the conversation, not only now, but also, you know, in the offseason, you know, where we are, where we do have depth and where we don't.
We've been talking about already this morning about your comments after, about once the guys cross the white line, there's really nothing you can do for them when it comes to penalties. And then you brought up the fact that you just need to prepare them every single week. Do you feel like every week when you're going in to the game that they are prepared to not make those mistakes? How do you make sure to up that as the head coach when it comes to practicing to make sure that this isn't a repeating issue?
You know, I've always said in the media, even when I was a player, that, you know, or I should say going back to when I was a coach in 19 when I first started, is that, you know, once you cross the white lines, like, it's your game. There's nothing I can do to do. You know, like, I try to give you the tools. You have to go out there with high awareness and execute what we're trying to do. I've always said that, and if we would have won the game, it looks like a compliment. We lose the game, now it looks like a slap in the face. But if you were to ask any of those players, I say that all the time.
There was a report this morning that as Drake May was talking to the press, that there were several offensive players laughing. How do you clean up the culture where players don't find any sort of frivolity in a blowout loss in Miami?
I didn't get that vibe in the locker room. When I broke the team down, I told them how I felt about the game. I'm not sure, you know, where that report came from. What I will say is, you know, I heard like one person, like, I guess Lowe, smiled during a question. But look, that's him. He smiles all the time. Look, we're disappointed. We're all pissed off. And we all understand that we have to get better.
The report was from Mark Daniels, though. And a few people have come out saying that while Drake May looked really affected by the outcome of the game, the offensive side of the locker room, a lot of guys were fooling around. It didn't seem like they were taking it seriously. And I think for a lot of people, when it's week in, week out, you wonder if they've just given up on the season. And that's worrisome for some.
I don't think we've given up on the season. I would say, you know, the one, I guess, positive to pull out of the game yesterday is that they continue to play. You know, and going back to the penalties and all that stuff, you know, shooting ourselves in the foot, like, we have to clean that stuff up. To give up 24 points in the second quarter, like, we can't. It's hard to come back from a performance like that. And we just got to get better.
Speaking of Drake, your thoughts on his game yesterday?
I thought he did some good things. I was able to extend plays. But, again, like, the turnovers are, you know, they're hurting the team. And he understands he has to clean that up, and hopefully that's part of his development.
Are there some things, because I know you said, like, once the players step on the field, like, all right, it's up to them. But are there some things that you looked at this game and go, you know, maybe we could have doubled Waddle a little bit? I know it's tough because they also got Tyreek Hill. Maybe play a little bit more zone. Are there some things as you go back and you watch the film that you said, all right, maybe we could have did differently schematically as the game was progressing?
Yeah, I think you always have to go back when you watch the film and, you know, win, lose, or draw. You always go back and reflect, like, what we could have done better. So that's, regardless of the game, we always feel that way.
Gerard, there was a report last week that Marcus Jones texted Alex Van Pelt to let him know that he could play offense. AVP then said that he hadn't seen film of him on offense. That's just unconscionable to me. How was that not something that entering the season Alex Van Pelt would have looked at, considering how big of a playmaker Marcus has been in the punt game?
Yeah, coming into the season, our main focus was first to get Marcus healthy, and then secondly, he's one of our starting corners and punt return guys. So, you know, to spend so much time on special packages and things like that, look, he's one of our best players defensively and in the special team realm. And, look, we've talked about it before. I'm not sure where you want to go from there.
Well, he said on this radio station on Friday when he was asked about it, Alex Van Pelt, that the wrong guy was being asked. So does that mean you're that they were asking the wrong guy? So I does that mean you're the guy that needs to be asked about that?
About
why there was no talk about incorporating him into the offense when you had in seasons past.
We've had those conversations as a full staff, and again, Marcus is our starting corner and one of the best punt returners in the league, and we have to use him in those ways.
You bring up the fact that the defense gave up 24 points in the second, but then the second half as a whole, you guys only give up 10. What were the adjustments at halftime to make sure that you were able to control them a little bit?
It just goes back to just execution and, you know, seeing the full picture. They hit us with a lot of motions and things like that. I would say the most disappointing thing for me overall defensively was just the communication. It has nothing to do with the first level. It's the second and third level who have to take that by the horns and make sure we're all on the same page, and we just didn't do that, especially in the first half.
I definitely owe you an apology, because after, you know, watching Washington and Chicago, I might have been wrong on the whole personnel thing at the beginning of the season.
Just keep that. We never get an apology.
Yes. Just put it in my pocket.
So for me, that was my bad. But off of that, do you feel like you've been given every possible tool to be successful as a head coach coming into the season that you thought you'd be given?
Yeah, my thing is, look, we knew at some point in time we were going to take our lumps. And I think, you know, it's easy for us to focus on this season. But, you know, as the head coach of the team, I have to think about every single game and also, you know, what we're trying to do going forward. And, look, we'll get better. We'll get better.
You feel like you should have been given the challenge on the Waddle catch?
I do. I know a lot of people, you know, probably said something about that, which is funny to me. It's a huge difference. It's a 15-yard difference. You know, there's a 15-yard difference if it is an incomplete pass while these guys are in field goal range. So I'm not sure where, people kind of got confused.
Well, there's everybody's a critic.
No, I'm fine with that, but part of my job is to teach you guys football too.
Do you hear all that stuff, the outside noise and stuff?
Like, I don't hear that stuff, but sometimes, you know, part of Stacy's job is just to give me a heads up on, like, what are hot topics, and I know that's one of them.
One of the things that is
Did you think it was a catch?
I'm not an expert.
It didn't look like a catch.
It looked like the ball was on the ground. It was a good challenge. I'm going to say that to you while you're here.
Then when I leave, you're going to say that was
but
definitely.
When it comes to what about? Do you ever hear the criticism that you appear like at times that you're coaching scared?
Yeah, I've heard that. My thing is, I'm always going to do what I think is best in that moment in time. Now, have there been times throughout the season where I go back and watch film like, I could have did that better? Absolutely. I'm sure when you first started on this show, you're a lot better now than you were when your first show.
Arguable.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like everyone, yeah. You know, they act like, you know, it's not a learning experience and that growth doesn't happen. Like when you write articles and stuff, I'm sure if you look at the first couple articles you've written versus the last, I'm sure they're just a lot better for everyone here at the table. And I will be a better coach going through this adversity going forward.
But does it upset you? Because Greg and I always go back and forth on this. And you, like you said, it is human nature to hear some of the things, to talk about some. Does it upset you that you're in a position where you're always going to be compared to a guy who had been doing it for 50 plus, or however long he's done it, where you're in your first year as a head coach, and then there's always a comparison to Bill Belichick, the greatest of all time? Does it not upset you when you go home and say, like, damn, cut me a little slack. You're my first year. I'm learning as I go.
I never look for slack, and I don't really get into comparisons either. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's the guys in that locker room that I have to do a better job getting ready for games.
You talk about yourself getting better throughout the season and moving forward. Do you feel like Drake May, every single game has progressed, even though they may have been losses? This game, it seemed like maybe he took a half a step back.
Yeah, look, if we would have won the game, I mean, the whole narrative would have been different. And again, I don't think progress is like a straight line to the top. I think it's, you're going to have those ups and downs. But after you look at it from a longer, you know, viewpoint, as long as it's still going this way, it's going to be like this. But as long as it's going this way, then, I mean, look, you'll be happy at the end.
If you were going to jump ahead and look at the offseason, what to you are the key areas where you need to look at improving this football team?
Look, we're always trying to get this football team better. That's too far right now for me to look ahead. Like, my main focus is on this game and getting the win. so you can smile more.
We'll use that.
We'll look ahead for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Wiggy will look ahead.
Yeah, wide receivers and maybe Max Crosby. I know he's a little disgruntled out there in Las Vegas. So.
You're trying to get us to tamper here.
No. I'm just throwing guys out there that I would like.
I'm putting my hands up like this.
I don't coach like Gerard said. No. I don't have anything
well,
to
do. Well, you did one season.
Yep.
Guess what? Unlike Gerard, I was, you know, a lot of stuff was thrown my way that I did not deserve.
Right.
Like what?
You were not given all the tools.
Yeah, I was not given all the tools.
Like, what's your?
I did not get to pick my own coaching staff.
Oh, rude.
So you know, I
crank
had
up the bus.
Yeah, he's rolling.
He's rolling over.
Some of the guys that I did inherit. I believe me, I wish I could have removed them, but because it's a union thing, I have no control of that, Gerard.
Well, did they talk about you on the radio afterwards?
No, they definitely talked about me behind my back.
Behind his back, they did. Yes,
Gerard. I just interesting because I feel like you may be coaching differently if you had pieces to sub in for guys that were making mistakes. Is that just a fair blanket statement without calling anybody out in particular?
That's a fair assessment.
Okay. Hellman's Mayo question of the week. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or a grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. We're in the realm of what if and what could be, what might be. So I'll ask this. Rodney Harrison, Vince Wilfork, and Adam Vinatieri are Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalists. If you had one vote, who would be the guy first?
Vince Wilfork.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Because really? To me, he's one of those guys that, you know, he doesn't have all the big stats, but when you talk about the Hall of Fame, I think about dominant players, and he was a dominant player.
Wow.
Is he the only defensive guy to win both in the first part and the second part? Because he won in 04 or 03, and then he won again in 14. I think he's the only defensive guy that was part of both.
And other than Ray Lewis, Rodney's the only guy to have 30 interceptions and 30 sacks.
Yeah, all the players that you guys mentioned there are worthy. You know, you asked me to stack rank it, I'm going Vince.
Yeah, I like it. What's the week like with the holiday on Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're working. We'll clean this up. The guys are in today, and we'll be in tomorrow as well. Wednesday, full pads. Get ready to go.
What do you got going on Thursday?
I think it's Thanksgiving.
Who's cooking?
Not me. No.
Are you a ham or turkey guy?
I'm a turkey guy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank God.
It depends what kind of turkey you're talking about. Not that dry turkey.
Yeah. No.
You like a fried turkey?
Fried turkey or Cajun turkey.
Oh, I've never had Cajun turkey. Nope. All right.
Greg just woke up.
Yeah. You got me. All right, Coach. Have a great Thanksgiving.
I appreciate you guys, and I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving as well. I'm thankful for all you guys. Seriously, I am. And look, this is going to make me better. Like, go ahead and, you know, you can question everything. It's going to make me better in the future, and I appreciate it.
All right. Well, I mean, that, you know, we try to do it in a, you know, in a kind way.
No, don't do it in a kind way.
All right.
It's fine.
Respectful way, at least.
That is Gerard Mayo. The conversation with the coach is brought to you by Cross Insurance. Cross Insurance, official insurance broker of the New England Patriots. And here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Pats fall in Miami 34-15, the final against the Dolphins. The Celtics beat the Timberwolves at the TD Garden last night 107-105, the final. It's back-to-back game nights for the Seas. They're hosting the Clippers tonight at the TD Garden. Tip is at 7:30. The Bruins got their second win under Joe Sacco on Saturday, beating the Red Wings 2-1. The crazy news over the weekend, though, just 5 days after Jim Montgomery was fired by the Bruins, he has a new home. Monty signed a 5-year deal to the St. Louis Blues as their head coach over the weekend. And that was brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. In celebration of Awaken 180's 10-year anniversary, all consultations booked now through December 15th will be free. Reserve yours today at awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 41 degrees, afternoon high, 51 and sunny.
All right, we're at Gillette Stadium. We'll see if there are any nuggets.
Oh, there were some things.
When it comes to what Gerard Mayo just said with us.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Up next. Well, that was Jerod Mayo on a Patriots Monday moments ago on this radio station. So, yeah. Nuggets?
That we don't have the personnel. Guess what? You gave me, you told me to go fix the car, and you didn't give me all the tools I needed. You know, and if I had the right tools, like, you know, I had said that, get a guy's ass and sit him on the bench. Yeah, I would do that, but unfortunately, I can't because I don't have confidence in his backup.
But isn't that more pointing the finger elsewhere from Jerod Mayo?
Well, it's pointing the finger in the direction of, like, this is the personnel that I have. It's just like when we used to have the discussion about Mac Jones, and people would say, well, give him some talent. He don't have no talent. He don't have no talent. And, you know, some people would say that, but it's like, well, can he elevate some of the talent? No, maybe he's not good enough to do that.
You called that, though, because you said at the beginning of the show, that's why he's not sitting guys like Vidarian Lowe, because right. He's worried about the depth. And my take on that is, well, what do you have to lose right now? You guys aren't going to be playing, you know, in the playoffs.
Right.
So just throw the other guys out there to make a statement that you don't
care.
Here's why.
And you make a very fair point. I'd probably say the same thing. If Vidarian Lowe is benched, and I don't even know who it would be, but tackle X allows a clear rush, yeah, and Drake May goes fair down, then it's on Jerod, yep, Mayo. Right. So in this way, what he did and what he's doing is saying, hey, guys, this is the team you gave me. Like, what do you want me to do here?
Right.
I don't have anybody else to put in. I can bench Ramondre, but talk about, you know, just shooting yourself in the foot. Right. He's one of our only playmakers on the roster.
But does he seem like a guy who's bothered by the reporting that Drake May was essentially the only guy in that locker room after getting blown out who seemed bothered by it?
He don't believe it.
Huh?
He doesn't. You're talking about Jerod?
Yeah.
Jerod doesn't buy that report because he said, well, after I broke them down and I was in the locker room with them, they all seemed like, you know, they all seemed very disappointed, very upset. Then,
well, that's what he says about every report, is that that none of it's accurate. None of the reporting is accurate. They're reporting about Robert Kraft calling around and asking about how to develop Drake May. That's false. They're reporting about guys in the locker room that are laughing and having fun and don't care that they just got blown out. That's inaccurate. So,
Listen, it's a very precarious spot because let's say it is half the offense that's laughing. You have how many more games? 5? So are you going to say they're all losers? You know, I feel like next year, this whole thing will look much different. The goal of the organization is going to be to keep as many people that follow the team on board,
right,
while you hit these rough seas. And what you're going to start to see is more and more like you heard today, which is more honesty about how the roster was put together instead of single-handedly calling out individual people by name. And there's going to be a power struggle this offseason between Kraft, Wolf, and Mayo. And it's going to be about the staff, freedom to pick your own staff, which we heard may not have been the case.
Right.
And it's going to be true, legit investment. The salary cap is about as relevant as, you know, the weather in Taipei right now when it comes to how this team is.
Well, they have $140 million within the cap
it doesn't matter. It's like saying within Ernie Bach's budget, there isn't one.
Yeah, no, so, it doesn't matter.
So, like, I just feel like this offseason is going to be about the organization investing completely in this roster, Jerod Mayo having the ability to build a staff and to be able to hold people accountable on a team where he actually has competent people to replace those that fall out of line.
Are you going to give him every possible opportunity to be able to look himself in the mirror when it's all said and done and go, I was able to succeed or fail because I had everything I needed and I just wasn't good enough to get it done? Or is he going to look and go, damn, they didn't allow me to do this. I couldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you fail, you want it to be because you just weren't good enough at doing it, not because you didn't have the players that you needed. Like, he could sit up there and say what he wants.
Isn't that the business model that the old guy had and that they purposely set out to do differently?
What's that?
The complete control for the head coach. Weren't we told that was the problem the last 20 years?
Mayo should have complete control.
Is the expert? Well, then you're talking about the roster. Like, the way they went about this is that they wanted Elliot Wolf to handle the roster and Gerard Mayo to handle the coaching.
Well, guess what? And then they should fire Elliot Wolf because
but I'm just asking you. They're getting – this is exactly what they wanted. This is what they set out to do because Bill Belichick was such a control freak, had to run everything.
Well, he did build most of this roster. I mean, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah,
he did. So the roster isn't very good.
He did.
So,
But we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is they have the structure that they wanted.
Right.
They have separated church and state.
Right.
And
right.
I agree. What we need from the organization is a guarantee from the top that there will be a massive investment into the roster of this team. No longer is the $30 million an issue for Bill Belichick. And I also believe the $30 million was baked into their budget anyway. So when you had Bill Belichick here, he took up some money that you otherwise, it was the right investment in Bill Belichick. I'm just saying there should be a $250 million is the starting point of money that should be invested into this team this offseason. In trading for guys, it's not just free agency.
Right.
Trade for known commodities and then give them a new deal. You have so much cash, and you have a guy at the most important position. So take advantage of it. Try and do something. In the division, now, you know, the Jets are going to be bad again. Who knows what's going to happen in Miami with Tua down the line, you know, in the future. And, you know, the Bills are great, but that's always going to be the case. You have an opportunity with a quarterback to be a playoff contender next year if you rebuild the roster.
This is Kentucky Mike. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I know we're talking about the head coach and everything, but I don't see why we're not talking about more of the guys that are directly responsible for picking the roster. I mean, Matt Groh has been with the scouting department since 2011, Elliot Wolf since 2020. Every player we drafted last year has gotten worse except for Drake May. We've got 40 guards and no one seems to work. And Scott Peters is the O-line coach, but he's with those guys every day, yet we're talking about Mayo. I don't understand why we're not talking directly about guys that make the decisions.
Yeah, and that's what I've always said, right? When Mayo took this job, he was probably sold, you know, like you say, Courtney, a bill of rights saying, hey, am I going to have the ability to hire my guys and then work with Elliot Wolf to say, okay, what type of roster would we like to put together? What type of players are we looking for? So when he sits here and goes, well, you know, we need help. No, you need a wide receiver.
And Wiggy sold me a bill of rights.
I mean, he sure did.
You need a wide receiver. Who is that guy that you and Elliot can both say we identify? Is it T. Higgins at free agency? I'm only saying that because he's a free agent. Or is there a disgruntled wide receiver? And I brought up Deebo Samuel.
Right.
Hey, Elliot, should we pick up the phone and call San Francisco and see if they're willing to part ways with Deebo Samuel? Like, these are all the things that I bet Gerard thought he would have some type of input in. But if
you don't think he's told you all season long that he does have input in that.
Well, just like you don't believe him on everything, there are certain things I don't believe him on. So why would
you don't believe him on any of this being in any way, shape, or form his fault? He's told you that he has input in it.
So what's the burn some cash?
I don't blame him for this roster at all. I don't think that if it was up to Gerard Mayo, you think he would have built this roster?
Right.
There is literally no talent. The offensive line has two, maybe 1.5 starting caliber out of 5. I mean, it's awful.
I apologized to him today because he's been telling me this for the past several weeks, that I was out of my mind for thinking they had more talent than Washington and Chicago at the beginning of the season. He's the one who said on the show, we're going to burn some cash, thinking like, all right, we're going to go out and get some of these guys.
There are two positions on their roster that are league average, tight end and quarterback. That's it. Maybe the cornerbacks with Christian Gonzalez, but the rest of them kind of stink. Like, that's your tight ends are average, good.
Yep,
fine. Your quarterback is good right now. Could be great, but right now, good, fine. Everything else, awful. Wide receivers, bottom of the league. The offensive line, bottom of the league. Specialists, bottom of the league. Defensive, the linebackers now, bottom of the league.
Other than Barmore on your D tackle, who's back, who you know. Barmore and Gonzalez on defense.
That's it.
All right, we got to take a break. It is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Jones and Keefe coming up at 10. Patriots Monday, Jones and Keefe coming up next. I want to get a couple calls because our wait times are creeping up, and, you know, customer service, very important to me.
Right.
What's the number, Curtis? 5 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever.
Right, and if you have any issues, just call Ken.
This is Dave. Dave from Nashua. Dave, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I just Curtis said something earlier that really got to me. He was about once the guys are in between the lines, Mayo has no control. Yeah, that's what Brady said a few years ago. You mentioned it. And the other thing is, this is the same roster, a similar roster as that you had when Belichick was there. Belichick can't get these guys to work. You know, it's a softer group. Even Brady said it's a softer training. They don't do the same things. It's harder to get them to do things. You know, a group that's been together for years, I think they work together better.
You're saying that Belichick had the same issues. That the issues that Gerard Mayo has, well, when it comes to getting guys to play hard, would be the same issues that Bill would have, is what you're saying.
The only difference is Mayo is inexperienced, and he's learning as he goes, but he can't get these guys to work together. Stupid mistakes yesterday, all day long. And Drake May, if you look at Drake May, he was so professional yesterday. One of the guys got a penalty, I forgot who it was, and he gets the guy and brings him over to the huddle instead of arguing with the refs. You know, this team just needs to get together and work together. And they're just not, you know, working together is what it comes down to. They're not.
Dave, I appreciate the call, and have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Yeah, see, I agree with that. I'm kind of on Curtis' side of the fence a little bit when it comes to, you know, and I think maybe Bill checked out a little bit, but I still agree. I think
you are square on top of the fence. Like, you are straddling
you.
That fence.
Thank you for finally
you are
saying it.
Straddling
he just
the
said
fence.
It, he just how said it within the same sentence.
Yeah.
But if I agree with both, that means I think both of them say, it's like having two candidates.
I know,
right?
That's why you're straddling the fence.
Well, you have three kids, you love all three.
No. I think Curtis is right that where they had issues last year with Bill. I think Greg is also right that if Bill was coaching this year, they wouldn't be making some of those same in-game defensive miscues that they're making. Mm-hmm. So that I completely agree with. Yeah. So it's like I like what both of them are saying, and I agree with both of them.
I would just put it this way. I would feel a hell of a lot better today if they were better now than they were a month ago, even if they weren't good. I know it's not linear, but what we saw yesterday,
they're getting worse.
And we all love Gerard.
Worse.
Can we all say that we all love Gerard?
Yes, he's a great guy, and I like the way he does an interview.
But he says, well, the prior four before yesterday, it's like, what? No, like, yes, you were 1-2 out of three games. You were close to winning 3 out of 4. But what you saw in the first half, the first three quarters,
it's a bad game.
Was a team that didn't compete. Like, that happened last year with Bill a couple times. Prior to that, I don't know if it happened once in 20 years.
Right, but it happened. So, I agree with Gerard. See, this is the thing. If you look at it, if you just look at yesterday's game, it was awful.
Why was it awful?
But the week before and the week before that, they were making strides headed in the right direction. They just had a horrible game plan that they did not execute. And you, Greg brought it up where you're playing man-to-man on Jalen Waddle, and you don't make an in-game adjustment to say, maybe we play zone, maybe we blitz a little bit more. Maybe it's hard to blitz against Tua because he gets the ball out so quickly, or we play zone and we drop guys out.
So you don't expect to see that type of play when they take on the Colts on Sunday?
No, I don't expect to see that type of performance.
And you know what, Greg? Remember we were talking earlier about offensive coaches, defensive coaches as head coaches? I wonder if Jerod Mayo's defensive about Marcus Jones because he prioritizes that side of the ball, not wanting his starting corner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if that was that, like,
well,
conservative.
That could be it. He also told you that he looked at Alex Van Pelt at the start of the season as the head coach of the offense. So he doesn't have any say in it, and so that's why it never came. I mean, did you hear him? Alex Van Pelt was on this radio station Friday saying that I'm not the guy to ask about that. I mean, that's directed at Jerod. That's directed at his boss. Am I right? I mean, I don't know.
So.
Who else would that be directed at?
No, you're right.
So, I mean, that's kind of dysfunctional.
Yeah.
But that you don't – there's a crazy dysfunction there. Even if you don't know, like Marcus Jones didn't play any offense last year because he only played in two games. You get into the building, we're like, all right, who do we got? Who can make some plays for us or whatever? Somebody has to say, you know, hey – kid Marcus Jones, I know he's our starting corner over
couple
there.
A couple seasons ago.
Okay. Threw him a couple screens.
It's wild.
When I heard that, you know how you sit next to someone at a dinner party and they'll say something that makes you totally not listen the rest of the night?
Yeah.
You know, I'm 45 and I still think wrestling's real. You know, what we found out about Marcus Jones and Alex Van Pelt, like nothing he does ever, like he should be gone. That is the peak of not doing your job. Is not understanding, especially a team without playmakers.
Yeah.
Like, to not have looked at that film and not have found...
To not know the personnel that you can use in various situations is malfeasance.
In that first loss to the Dolphins at home, where they just were 1 foot away from Jalen Polk from winning it, you don't think Marcus Jones could have maybe had one play there win the game?
Imagine if they draft Travis Hunter and then like, oh, I didn't know the kid played offense.
All right, well, we got to go. It is a Patriots Monday, Drake May this afternoon. That'll be interesting on the afternoon show. We are back tomorrow morning at 6 with Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday.
Have a good trip, Shine. We'll miss you.
Oh, thanks, guys. I'll see you guys after the holiday.
Cheerio, Mike.
If you need any help, I live there. So if you need any tutorials.
Yes, enjoy London. When are you flying? Tonight? Or?
Yeah, I'm on the red eye tonight. So I'll watch Monday Night Football while I'm on the plane and then take a nice little nap.
Please post on social media if there are long lines. I love when people do that.
Ooh, I would be happy to. Definitely.
Yeah, and I mean, if you have any issues with the airline, take right to X and start tweeting at them.
I will definitely
my
tweet.
You love that play. That's one of your go-tos.
Can I get an extra bag of pop chips back here?
All right. Thank you very much for your patronage.